You'll find information on how to support Clear Vision Revival at the end of this podcast. Okay, this is number 3 in our testimony series, and explains who we are and the process we went through to get to here, to where we are now, 8 years later. So we've seen so many healings and miracles, so many people delivered from darkness and their lives restored. It's unimaginable. You know, in 25 years of going to church and praying for people and not seeing much happen, I saw a lot of people get filled with the Holy Spirit. I was good at that, but I couldn't heal a headache. When it came to healings, we only got our healings when we super pressed in or we were hanging off a cliff, and we were calling out to God because, you know, it was either do or die. And God stepped in and He sovereignly healed us, and that was great. But we couldn't heal a headache if, you know, unless we really pressed in hard. And we didn't understand all of the mechanism for that. I was really good at getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, getting them speaking in tongues. That was really easy. When it come to healing ministry, when it come to deliverance, I didn't know anything really much about it. Because I was in a very conservative, spirit-filled church that all they wanted to do was just go and tell people about Jesus, get them baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's it. Then everybody else goes out and tells people about Jesus, and everybody gets baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, but nobody gets their victories. Or they get them, but they're sporadic, and that's no good. You know, they're just lucky dip stuff, and nobody really had a full comprehension, a full comprehensive salvation plan, apart from you know, being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. We were told that pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, when I got first baptized in 1984, my wife and I, on Tuesday, the next day, a brother comes around and he says to me, "Well, Tom, you know, we're going to go outreaching." And he also said to me, "You need to establish a good prayer life." So he got me praying for an hour and a half every day for a whole year in tongues. So praying every day for an hour and a half in tongues really, really did some major damage of darkness in my life. It realigned me with the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, I prayed for more than an hour and a half. You know, I prayed when I was driving. I prayed when I was walking around. But I actually got on my knees and prayed solidly, apart from that, for an hour and a half every day. And my wife, she prayed with me, and we just always kept our head major above water. But there was a glass ceiling in our church. We were unable to break through. We saw people manifest in the shops and fall down on the ground and go berserker in our presence, and we didn't really know what was going down. We knew it was demons, but we didn't know how to deal with it. And, you know, come for healing. You know, we did pray for people for healing, and we saw some people heal, but it wasn't a continuous thing. It wasn't an always thing. It was a lucky dip thing. But now, when I pray for people, every single time, I can hardly remember any time when we didn't pray for them and something didn't happen. And that, you know, people, we go to their place, or we might pray for them, and they open their heart up and the kingdom of God just floods into their life. Yeah, on the street, we pray for people and they start crying. You know, I don't go out knocking on doors or telling people about Jesus or handing out pamphlets anymore. I just sit at home and pray in tongues and stay in the presence of God and just enjoy His presence. Then when I go out, when I go down the shop, or when I do something, I just run into people. And most of the time, you know, the Lord will say, "That person." So I'll go up to them and I'll start talking to them. And, you know, all I basically say is, I mean, I'm over the introductional stuff. I just say, "Hi, my name's Tom, and Jesus told me to speak to you." And they just are in shock, because for some reason they've asked God to do something in their life that very day or a days before. And some of them have never been to church. Some of them are Christians who are worn out. And they say, God, if you're there, can you please help me? And they're really serious. Maybe they're just at the end of the rope, but he sends me to them. And I look them in the face and say, hi, I'm a Christian. Jesus has told me to speak to you. They know. And if they're unsaved, they've never been to church. They know. It's like Jesus just taps them on the shoulder and says, this is it. This is real. And I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to give any, words of encouragement about things. I just step straight into the anointing. And within 30 seconds, I'm praying for them. They open their whole life up to me because God does something miraculous inside their heart and says, this guy is real and I'm sending him to you. And they start crying. You know, I lay my hands on them and the power of God comes over them. They're not even filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're the easiest ones to minister to because, well, they haven't had all of the trauma of unbelief in their life through praying and seeking God and being in the church and going down the front and being prayed for and nothing's happened and every now and then bits and pieces have happened or whatever. And they, you know, people who are unsaved, who never been to church, they don't believe in God. They don't even know who God is. They don't have any ability to unbelief because they've never been believing in God anyway, you know. So most of the time, unbelief is the hardest thing to deal with because we're Christians, they walk in unbelief because they've been down the front, they've been lied to, they've been ripped off, whatever. Some of them have been told all about the promises of God and how wonderful God is, but never been taught how to reach out and actually touch God and connect with heaven in a proper, meaningful, biblical way. Okay, so, you know, they actually are the worst because they're the people who live in unbelief. And it's sad because they believe in God, but they don't believe in any miracles or anything's going to happen to them. So, you know, they put big blocks of cement and two fridges up against the door so that the Lord can't come in. You know, in Revelations it says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open, I will step in and I will sup with him. I'll bring all the good stuff with me. So Jesus knocks on the door and he expects you to open the door of your heart. But if you've been disappointed so many times, you don't want to be disappointed again. You're over being disappointed, so you shut the door of your heart. You put seven bolts, door locks on it, and you put a big fridge and six blocks of cement so that nobody hurts you again. You believe in Jesus. You want to be saved. You want to walk in victory, but the hurt of disappointment is so great that you just stow away. You lock up your heart. But unsaved people, they're the easiest to minister to because they haven't even got a door on their house. They've got no cause to lock up their heart concerning God because they've never prayed to him. They've never been disappointed. So when I lay my hands on them, the power of God flows into them like nothing. It just piles in. And I look at their face and I say, that's God. And the look on their face is priceless. And I like it. I like it big time. It's really fun. And you look at their face, and some of them are crying. I've seen men. You know, I had a guy standing outside a hotel, and he's smoking some cigarettes because he wasn't allowed to smoke inside. So he's out the front on the footpath having a cigarette. And I walked past, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to speak to him. So I went up to him, and I said, hi, how you going? I said, my name's Tom. And Jesus has told me to speak to you. He looked at me. He's just a bloke. He's about maybe 40 or so. And he's just a normal fella. And, you know, he just looked at me and sort of didn't know what to do. And I said, can I pray for you? And you know what he said? Okay. That happens over and over and over and over and over again. Okay. Right? Not, well, what are you talking about, mate? Step back. No, none of that. It's okay. So I put my hand on him, and he's a guy having a cigarette outside the pub, leaned up against the wall, right? Just the normal fella, okay? I said to him, can I pray for you? And he goes, okay. Right, as if they're like a deer in the headlights. They're just overwhelmed by something that they can't explain is happening to them spiritually. And I just say, okay, I put my hand on them and I start praying over them. And, you know, one guy that was up at the pub, after I finished praying, I looked up and he had tears coming down his eyes. You know, and it wasn't from my most well orchestrated prayer. It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit touched his heart. And, you know, that happens over and over and over again. You know, there's some people, I used to be a window washer. I'm standing doing the windows, and I turn around and someone's just on the footpath staring at me, and they're just staring at me. And I put my window washing gear down, walk over to them and say, hi, my name's Tom, and I'm a Christian, and what you see over me is the glory of God. And they just get it. They get it. I don't have to give them any theology. I don't have to quote them scriptures, hand them a pamphlet, try to cozy up to a conversation. They just get it. Because God has put me in a place where it's so close to closing the deal that it's not funny. And I just say, you know, can I pray for you? Or God will give me a word of knowledge. I might say, one lady, I said, you've got bipolar. The Lord's just told me. She said, how did you know? I said, God told me. She said, wow. And I said, yeah, God's trying to break into your life. And I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. I prayed for her. She got instantly healed of bipolar on the footpath. She is hugging me and crying from joy. She knew it was gone. I didn't have to say to her, well, just think positive. No, she knew. She knew it was gone. Because it was a demon. And when it left her, she knew. They don't have theology. They just have experience. They experience something. You know, some people are only good at theology and have no experience. I'd like to have experience and theology. Okay? So, you know, this happens all the time, over and over again. There's a lady on the beach. You know, where Donna and I walking down the beach with our little dog. She walks past. We said, hello. She said, hello. And she kept walking. That was it. The next day, 2 days later, I'm down at the beach with Donna, and she walks up to me. She says, I've been down here yesterday and today looking for you. And nobody does that. They just don't do that. Okay? They just don't go, oh, they said hello to me, so I'm going to go chase them and look for them. No, there was something driving her to us. She wasn't Christian, wasn't spirit-filled, never been really to church at all. And so I straight away knew that ministry was about to happen. The anointing dropped on me, and I said, we're Christians, and we pray for people, and they get healed of all sorts of diseases and healed of pain and suffering. She goes, I've got a bad back. I said, oh, well, can we pray for you? She said, yes. We laid her hands on her and prayed over her. She got healed of back pain. That was all gone. And then I said, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, be born again? She goes, yes. So I put my hand on her, Donna and I. We prayed, bang, she started speaking in tongues. And then we said, look, you need to be baptized by full immersion. And we're at the beach, so do you want to go into the ocean and get baptized? She says, yes, please. Took her into the ocean, baptized her, brought her out, and we all stood in a huddle, in a round little circle, just worshipping, praying in tongues. People walking up and down the beach, looking at us, who cares, we're in the Lord. We've got an open heaven operating here. And we prayed for maybe a couple of minutes. I started talking to her a bit more, but yeah, from the time she walked up to us to the time she was in the water getting baptized was probably about 8 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes. How quick's that? That's because I sat down and prayed in tongues. I got full of God, and the glory was over me, so that I don't have to use humanistic experiences to make up a conversation and then start to maybe explain my testimony and then maybe get them to maybe warm up to what I'm trying to tell them and then maybe get them to respond in some way. No, God just goes and does all the work for me. The Holy Spirit goes before me. He looks across the land and he sees whose hearts are crying out to God, and then he divinely hooks me up with them. And then when they, when I meet them, Don and I, we just do the same old, hello, how you going? God's here. I don't have to even be politically correct. They just, see, nobody just walks up to somebody and says, hi, my name's Tom, and, you know, Jesus told me to pray for you. And that, and you would say, yeah, okay. I don't think I'd do that. But if God's in on the whole thing, and there's a spiritual connection, even though they're not spirit-filled, big things happen. And, you know, that happens over and over and over again. Why? Because I sat down and prayed for hours and hours, got rid of all the junky stuff out of me, so that when God moved me from glory to glory, because I beheld his face, right? I moved from glory to glory, from operational level to operational level to operational level to a higher level to a higher level of operation. And, you know, he just used me more and more. As I cleaned myself up, he was able to work with me even more and more extensively. As I cleaned myself up, he was able to put me out into a place where it's pretty dangerous. And, you know, people just, people weren't nice. And I just stepped into those places and everything was done for me. These people were disarmed in every way. You know, I prayed for people with tattoos all over their faces. I mean, really, like the people in, you know, in New Zealand, the Maori guys with all the tattoos all over their faces and everything, the Maldives, you know, and I just put my hand on them and they just start crying. And, you know, they just turn into jelly. And there is no, I just don't have any fear of my own safety anymore, because the Lord and angels are all there working around me. And nothing ever comes against me. Nothing ever, nobody ever says, you know, they're never aggressive. They just turn into jelly all the time. Over and over, I'd say 97% of everybody they're just disarmed spiritually, and the spirit is greater than a natural man's thinking. And you know, the victory is in the Lord. It's through the Holy Ghost. It's not through our prowess of how well we can speak and strike up a conversation. I'm good at striking up conversations, but I don't have to do that anymore. All I do is get full of God. And then when I go out, I don't go out purposely looking for anybody. I don't even think about them. I just think about God all the time. And when I'm in the shopping center or walking down the street, in a crowd of people, you know, standing in a line, you know, people, they'll turn around and look at you and say, so what did you do today? And I say, well, I just sat down and prayed in tongues for a couple of hours and got full of God. And they look at you and they say, really? And I say, yeah. I say, and when we lay hands on people, the power of God goes over them. They say, will you pray for me because of this? People are in a line. They've got people behind us and people in front of us. And we're praying away in tongues and praying over them. And their legs growing back in front of everybody. And you know, their legs one short and the other. And we've got them on a step. And they're sitting down. And we've got their leg and we're praying. And people are just looking over our shoulder and looking down behind us. And they're just amazed. And then the person stands up and says, I'm healed. And then we look at everybody and say, that's the power of God. And that's happened over and over and over and over again. My boldness comes from my confidence in what's going to happen around me, because it happens over and over again. Why? Because I sat down and I said to the Lord, I'm sick of all the people in my church falling over and dying of cancer, and families and breaking up and marriages crashing. Can you give me the stuff that I need to get the help minister these people? So I sat down. I had nobody to teach me. I mean, I didn't go and get books and videos and DVDs on, you know, 32 steps of being a man of God. I didn't do any of that. I didn't read any books. I didn't watch any of that stuff. I just sat down and prayed in tongues. And prayed in tongues for hours and hours every day. And then God dismantled all of the stupid ideas I had in my head about God. And he gave me the operational things. And he gave me power and authority. So now when I walk amongst people, I have authority. You know, I don't go up to them and say, I have authority. I just speak, and then they say, you've got great authority. And, you know, I just I step into a group of people, and they start asking me, what do you do? I say, well, I pray in tongues, and the power of God is over me all the time, and when we pray for people, their lives change. And they say, can I have this? They don't even think, you know, is this guy a waffler, or is he just, you know, a speaker of great swelling words of lies? They just believe me, because for some reason the Holy Spirit is speaking out of my mouth and touching their heart, and they just open their heart up, put my hand on their chest, and when they open their eyes up after I prayed over them, they're different. They, you know, some of them can hardly hold them up. They're staggering around. I prayed for a lady on the footpath, and I had to sit her down on a chair because she couldn't stand up. She's just a lady about 60 years old. Didn't go to church. Yeah, most people who don't go to church, right, are the most easiest to minister to. Christians are hard to minister to. I have to get them to learn to receive, because they are so locked up, so blocked up, so walking in unbelief. And it's sad, because you know, they have been subjected to disappointment after disappointment. You know, people come to our door. They come. A lady, she came through our door. She had cancer. She had a tumor on her liver, and she's 3 months pregnant. And some people brought her, and she walked through the door, and I said, this is your lucky day. And she said, what? I said, God's going to heal you, and you're going to be set free. And she goes, really? I said, yes. She's never been to church. So she came to our house. We sat her on the lounge. I told her two testimonies of healings that we've seen and done, you know, being a part of. And then I stood her up. Donna and I laid hands on her. And she got so whacked from the presence of God, we had to sit her down on the lounge. And she was just out to it. And we prayed for her mum who came, and the friend who came, and they got healed. And then we went back to her and the lady with the tumor, and we said, how do you feel? And I remember her face. She was like, looked like she was in a stupid, drunk, out of it thing. And she just was like in happy, happy land. And she just said, I feel so wonderful. And I said, that's the presence of God. Would you like the Holy Spirit to live inside you forever? She said, oh, yes, please. Stood up, prayed over her. Bang, she started speaking in tongues. The mother was watching. We said, would you like to have the Holy Spirit? Yes, please. Bang, she started speaking in tongues. Said to the guy who brought them, would you like the Holy Spirit? Bang, he started speaking in tongues. And we all just stood around in a little circle, praying in tongues, worshipping God for about maybe 10 minutes or so. And it was pretty amazing. You know, she went to the doctors the next day, got a whole lot of tests done, and they couldn't find the tumor. And she had the baby, and the little boy was healthy. So that's good. That's a good outcome for somebody, isn't it? You know, so, you know, I could talk for hours on all of these things, you know, about the presence of God turning up. I prayed for one guy, and he was from the Masonic Lodge, and he was the most worshipful master, And I thought, how wonderful is that? I was in a park with Donna and my little dog, and we were just walking, and I saw a bunch of people having a little picnic barbecue thing in the park, and the Lord said, I want you to speak to those people. And I was away off, and I was on a path going away from them. I said, oh, okay, Lord, when I come back, I'll speak to them. So after about half an hour, I came back, and they were there, and they were cleaning up, and I went to one of the fellows, said, what are you guys all doing over here? And he said, oh, we're having just a meeting in the park. I'm the leader of these people. I'm the Grand Poobah. And I went, you know, like Fred Flintstone, the Grand Poobah. And I said, oh, really? And I said, I'm a Christian, and I walk in the power of God. Anyway, he said to me, he said, now this is a Masonic lodge, and I'm the most worshipful leader. And I said, oh, really? And I started speaking to him a little bit, and I found out that he goes to a church, a Pentecostal church, and he'd been going there for a couple of years. So here's a Mason, right, who's the most worshipful leader, and he's going to a Pentecostal church, not baptized or speaking in tongues, and they're letting him go there. I'm thinking, how crummy is that church? And I didn't say that to him, but, you know, I said to him, I said, look, do you mind if I pray for you? And he goes, okay. So I put my hand on him, I started praying over him, and he started shaking. And he just shaked, and the power just flooded into him. And I just prayed that everything that he believes in would be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And he just, when I took my hands off him, he was like shaking, and he was It was just amazing, the power that went through him. And I gave him my phone number, and he gave me his phone number, and I said, you're going to come to the Lord. And he just looked at me, and I just went off with my wife and my little dog. And that was on Sunday. So on the Wednesday, I rang him up, and he said to me, what did you do to me, Tom? I said, I didn't do anything to you. He said, I just got out of hospital. He said, Sunday evening, I had a heart attack, and I ended up in hospital. I got out this morning on Wednesday morning. And I said, well, I didn't do that to you. I said, the enemy is trying to kill you because you're coming to the Lord. And he goes, he just was just amazed. I said, well, the power of God went through you on Sunday. You felt that? He said, yes. I said, well, would you like me to come around your place? So Don and I went around a couple of days later. I think it was on a Friday or something. And we went to his house. And I half expected the place to be full of demons and crawling with demon cockroaches. Anyway, I got there. There wasn't anything. The atmosphere didn't feel bad or anything. I was really amazed. What's going on here? Anyway, so we prayed over him for him to be healed of his arthritis. That got instantly healed. He was wrapped. We prayed over him and he started speaking in tongues. So he's the most worshipful leader. The most worshipful leader of the Masonic Lodge, speaking in tongues. And anyway, I thought, Lord, this is pushing the boundaries. Oh well. Anyway, so I took him down to the ocean the next day. I walked him into the ocean and I baptized him, and I got him to renounce everything I could think of. False idols, false stuff, everything. Anyway, so, you know, he got baptized in the ocean. And then on the way back, he's telling me, you know, we can speak to the people in our lodge. There's lots of old people. They'd love to be healed of this and that. And I'm going, okay, righto. Anyway, so, all I do is just step into where God shows me. And, God's going to look after that guy. I had to leave that town. I had to leave that town about 2 weeks later. And I wasn't able to continue on with the stuff with him. I spoke to him, got him praying. But I said to the Lord, what do I do with this guy? And he said, just leave it with me. You did your job. Okay, no worries. So, God will hook him up with something else, somebody who's spirit-filled and knows his stuff, and will, you know, he'll pray his life into reality. And, sometimes we get a bit too crazy about our self-righteousness, and we think, you know, the most worshipful leader of the Masonic Lodge, I mean, that's a demon-possessed organization. We all know that. But so are some of the Christian churches, mate. Now, some of them are worse than the Masons. And that's really bad. And, you know, all I do is I just stay in the light. I just walk in the glory of God. I walk in his marvelous light. And all I do is keep myself clean, spiritually clean and emotionally clean. And then when I have to minister to somebody, I just minister to them, and the power of God flows into their life, and he rescues them, no matter who they are. Prostitutes, all sorts of crazy people, you know, people who are, you know, into gangs, bikies, you know, and nice people, okay, they're all the same. If they haven't got Christ in their life, if they haven't got the Holy Spirit, if they haven't got to be born again, they're just, doesn't matter who they are, they're dead in the water. Doesn't matter if they're in a church and they have not got the Holy Spirit, they're dead in the water. So my job is to seal the deal, get people baptized, get people filled with the Holy Spirit, get them speaking in tongues, and clean them up and get them pointed on the road to recovery, and let the Holy Spirit partner with them. I plug them into the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of ministers will they'll preach to people about God and about how you get your victories, but as soon as you step out of their path, they get really upset. You know, they always want to be, it's not everybody, but some ministers want to be the middleman forever. They won't let you connect with Jesus through the Holy Spirit and them not be in the middle. They can't stand to not be the middleman. They want to stand between you and the Holy Spirit. They want to be the person that you go through with all the knowledge and all the wisdom so that you can go to the Holy Spirit. What I do is I just plug them directly into the Holy Spirit. And I say, the man that's trying to teach you stuff, well, hopefully he's been to the Holy Spirit and he's been downloaded stuff so that he can give you anointed talks. And most of those anointed talks should be around getting plugged into the Holy Spirit and not him being the middleman. You know, a lot of the time we become redundant in people's lives because we plug them into the spiritual side through into God, into Jesus. And They have a major encounter with God. They have a great relationship with God. We become secondary. We don't become the first thing. Sure, we minister to them and we keep helping them. But we encourage them to be plugged directly into the fountainhead. If you're going to drink from a river, don't drink at the mouth where all the sloppy stuff has come down. Drink at the fountainhead, at the spring where it comes out, where it starts, where it's as clean as it can be, where it's not polluted, you know. So we plug them into the fountainhead through the Holy Spirit, and they step into that river of life, and it just transforms them and transforms everybody around them. That's the gospel message, the transformation of a person's life and soul, right? Not through men's ideas and through middlemen and other people. It's through the Holy Spirit, through the agency of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit has been given us to guide us and lead us into all truth. He is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father. So if we are led by the Spirit of Christ and not the convenient wisdom of men, then we'll actually be very successful. Now, I don't mind being taught by someone who's been with God. I don't mind that at all. But most people who want to teach people, I don't know, I think they just download something from the internet Sunday morning before they get up on stage. I don't know, because half the stuff they speak doesn't seem to come from God. It seems to be through their intellectual prowess. And the ones who have been to university are even worse, because all they've got is just procedure and, you know, just administrational things and how to keep people, how to babysit people and keep them in the church, not about empowering people. You know, anybody I find who wants to truly, truly empower people through the kingdom of God is my friend. It's my friend. There's a lot of people who are in church, and they talk about revival and a great move of God and being led by the Holy Spirit. And they make these wonderful speeches, and you look at them, you think, well, I hope that's true. And then once you start mingling amongst some of them, you know, I've been in some places where they talk about, we want a move of God. We want to let the Holy Spirit have his way. And I was in one little house meeting thing, and the Spirit of God turned up, and the person shut it down because they had other things they wanted to say, and the presence of God was getting in their way. That's not understanding a move of God. When the move of God happens, you get out the way. You step out. I don't care if you've spent 6 months studying a great theology talk and you want to deliver it, and you've studied it, and you stand up on the platform, and the Holy Spirit turns up, the presence of God wants to do something other than you give your talk, you step out the way, because God is greater than your 6 month talk, is greater than any stuff that's going to come out of your mouth. But unfortunately, we can't get people, it's hard to find people who will step out of the way, because they're full of themselves, they're full of their own self-importance, they're full of their own glory, they're full of control freaks, they're just prideful. That's just the way people are. So hopefully, if you pray in tongues, you won't be like that. You'll be a servant of the Lord. If you pray in tongues and get into his presence, you'll be an instrument of righteousness for the Lord, and you won't get in the way. You'll be able to let God flow through you. You won't be a hindrance. You'll be an asset to God. So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support.